Good morning and welcome back to my podcast. Last week I was here talking to you all about my IPF, the pulmonary fibrosis, and the scleroderma, and the new medication that they had put me on. And this past Thursday I went and seen my pulmonologist, and we discussed the medication and how we're going to do this. I know I was said that I'm supposed to take 9 pills a day. That's the dosage that you're supposed to be taking with these this medication. But they got me on 6 pills a day right now. And he told me to do the 6 pills until the 1st of March, and then start back on the 3rd dose. That'll be the night pill, that I 3 pills that I'll be taking, and see how I go from there. We wants to be able wants to be able to get this medication into my system so I can be able to tolerate and get through these side effects that I'm going through. But so far, since I've been doing the 6 pills, I haven't had the vomiting or the diarrhea or the nausea. And you know, I am very grateful and thankful for that. So I say, we decided we're going to go ahead and do the 6 pills until the 1st of March, and then we'll start back on the 9 pills and see how my body goes with that. But the week was very stressful. I've been having a lot of stiffness still in my neck and in my spine. It's just, they're not, I don't know what's going on with them trying to get me in to see the surgeon, but it seems not to be working. So I am in the process of looking for a new rheumatologist, because I can't keep going through this pain that I'm going through. I know I'm constantly in pain all the time, but sometimes the pain gets to the point that where I can't stand it. And these patches is, you know, not working as well as they was when I first started using the patches, the CBD patches. So it's just, I need to get this taken care of, to relieve this pain and pressure that I have in my neck and on my spine. It's, you know, very uncomfortable. Like I said, this past week, you know, I had pain. Some days I had, you know, my normal pain. Then some days I had severe pain. And then, plus, I had my grandson this past week also. So it was, you know, a struggle, you know, to get through, you know, trying to watch him, you know, entertain him and deal with the pain that I was going through. And he came over. It was that Tuesday, and I ended up taking him home on that Friday. He's supposed to be staying until that Sunday, but the pain hit Friday, and I had to take him home. I had called his mom, but she wasn't able to pick him up because she had a car in the shop. So when my daughter got off work, we took him home. And like I said, no, this pain is no joke. You know, anybody that have chronic pain know chronic pain is no joke. It comes and it stays and it get worse. You know, my good day for me is a 7, but last week I was like a 8, 9, and Friday came, I was a 10 plus. So, you know, the pain is not getting better. And I know it's not going to get any better because I'm constantly in pain 24/7. But if I can eliminate some of the severe pain, it will help me be able to cope with the regular pain that I have anyway. You know, this fibromyalgia and the lupus and the scleroderma, you know, all this stuff is flaring up and it making it really hard on me to be able to cope with the pain, the unnecessary pain that I'm going through right now with my neck and spine. And I notice I have gotten lesions and knots on my leg. I have bruises that have appeared. And that's from the lupus and the scleroderma. What was it, Saturday? I wasn't able to eat anything. I did a liquid diet of eating because my mouth was so sore. My gum was sore. I did a lot of soup. I made me a cabbage soup and noodle soup. Soft foods to eat because when I get these lesions in my mouth and these blisters in my mouth, it's hard for me to eat. And Saturday was really bad, and yesterday it was really bad also. So this morning I woke up, I can tell some of the swelling and my gums have went down, but the blisters are still there on my tongue and on inside of my jaw. But I'm going to still do the soup until I can completely get rid of these blisters. Because trying to eat solid food, it hurts. And make it really difficult. And trying to chew, you know, with a swollen gums, that even more irritating. So it's like I said, you know, I knew when they diagnosed me that my illness was getting worse. And since this pandemic hit, it looked like everything is coming to a head. It's just like that getting more illness, you know, my illness flaring up more. I put it like that. They're flaring up a lot more than they normally do. And I'm coping with it, you know. I'm dealing with it. I'm going through the motions, you know. And there's really nothing, you know, that the doctor's name can do, you know, for that, no more than give me, you know, mouthwash, you know, that would help, that, you know, would, that doesn't have any alcohol in it, that way I could be able to gargle with, you know, and rinse my mouth, because I do get dry mouth, cotton mouth, as they call it. And you know, I'd be needing that moisture. It, you know, it's difficult to explain sometimes how I'm feeling or how, what I'm going through. Last week, my church was doing a Black History, and they want to start me in the Black History video that they're doing. And they came out, and we did the video. We took pictures. You know, they interviewed me and everything. And then last night, I get a text message from the lady that was doing the video, that did the video. And she was telling me that she's going to have to reshoot the video because her camera didn't pick up the voice, didn't pick up my voice. It had a little blurry. So she said that she's going to have to come back out and redo the video. And the lady that was doing the pictures, taking the pictures and stuff, so she actually posted most of her pictures that she had taken of me, you know, on our church website for Black History Month. And I was very honored, you know, that I was nominated, you know, to be able to do that. You know, no matter, you know, with all the pain that I'm going through, you know, I'm very blessed and honored to be able to do the Black History, you know, to talk about me, you know, growing up, you know, in the times that I was growing up in. And I was raised and born in Mississippi, so living there during those times, you know, was really a challenge. But I was raised not to look at color. I was raised as everyone is the same person. We all just have different color skins. We are made by the same creator. That's the way I was raised. I wasn't raised to know to like, oh, they're white, I can't socialize with them, or they're Indian, I can't socialize, or they're Mexican, or they're Asian. You know, I wasn't raised that way. I was raised everyone are equal. Everyone are the same. Yes, they talk about the Black Lives Matter. Everybody lives matter, you know. And I think that with no matter what we all go through, we all going through the same thing. Because they say that the lupus and the scleroderma and all that autoimmune affects Black women, Asian women, Hispanic women, you know, more than it does Caucasian women. But lately, I have noticed there have been a lot of Caucasian people as being diagnosed with lupus and scleroderma and pulmonary fibrosis, you know, and fibromyalgia. I noticed a lot of them are being diagnosed now. So I say this, it doesn't matter what color you are. An illness doesn't choose color. It doesn't have a preference on who gets sick, who it wants to attack. Look at this pandemic. It attacked everyone. It didn't just attack certain color. It attacked all of us. I mean, millions of people have died from this pandemic. And it wasn't just one race. It was all race. So, like I said, I look at it like this. I feel so honored to be able to do that video and looking forward to redoing the video so I can actually get my word out that way also, because they did ask me about my illness, you know, how do I cope with it, you know, and you know, like, you know, it's difficult at times, you know, to be able to deal with what I'm going through. But, you know, I said in a couple of my podcasts and videos that when I get to that point where it's overwhelming, I talk to someone. I talk to a therapist. You know, I don't hold it in, because holding it in doesn't help. I learned from my second marriage, stress will kill you. When you being stressed about unnecessary stuff, it will kill you. It will make you sick, you know. And getting through life, it's really a chore. You have to have faith. You have to be able to deal with whatever come before you, you know, and keep moving. You know, like I said, it's very difficult to get through a lot of things in life. But being bitter and feeling sorry for yourself, that's not the way to help yourself to cope with what you're going through. You know, I went through a lot of different emotions when I first was diagnosed. And when they decided to put me in a mental hospital for 72 hours for evaluation, that was my wake-up call there, you know, to like, okay, I know I'm not this far gone that I need to be here. Be there, seeing other people, what they're going through. What I was going through was nowhere near what they was going through. So yeah, it was a wake-up call for me. And I prayed and asked God, if he'd get me out of here. I wouldn't question him why I'm going through what I'm going through. I would embrace it, and I have. You know, I embrace life in a different view. I have a lot of pain. I have a lot of struggles, but I don't dwell on it anymore like I used to when I first got diagnosed. Like I say again, stress will kill you. You know, I had to rethink my life over. Remember all the trials and tribulation I had went through before I got sick. And I had to be like, okay, if I got through that, I can get through this. Yes, true enough, there's no cure for none of my autoimmunes. But if there is any medication out there can help me slow down the process, yes, I'm willing to give it a try. That's why I'm giving this new medication for my pulmonary fibrosis a try. To try to help slow down the growth that's on my lung. And I go back and see the pulmonologist in 6 months. And before I go back to see him, he went in a minute and had a CT scan done. So we can see, is the medication working? And check the CT scan against the CT scan that I had before I started the medication. And that's how, and x-rays. And that's how they do to see, is the medicine working? And like he said, if it's not, if it haven't did any, showing any improvement of slowing down the growth, he would take me off the medication, because he would see within 6 months, it should have been did something. And if it's not doing what it's supposed to do within 6 months, it's not the medication for me. And we'll have to go back to the drawing table and start something else and try something else. And, you know, that's fine. But I'm praying and being hopeful that I will be able to be able to just go ahead and continue to take the medicine, and that it is actually doing what it's supposed to do. Because like I said, you know, sometimes it's, you know, you have to give medicine a time to get in your system. And like they said, you know, with the given 90 days to see how you do with the going through the side effects. Excuse me. And so, like I said, you know, I'm going through, I went through most of the side effects so far. And like I said, I'm losing my edges, and that's not unusual because I have been taking chemo ever since 2009, and I have never lost any hair. But since I've been on this medication, my edges have started to fall out. So when I go in for my chemo in April, I'm going to talk to my oncologist and find out, is the chemo that I'm taking, is it now affecting my hair? Because when I first started it, they didn't have any studies of hair loss. But this new medication that I'm taking, there is studies of hair loss. So I don't know, is it that the new medication that's doing it, or is it the chemo that I've been taking, it started to take that effect. So I did talk to the pulmonologist about it, and he said it could be either one of them. Now, maybe, making my edges come out. But like he said, that my edges wasn't coming out when I was on the chemo. So it could just be the new medication, that's beginning to take my hair out. And that's something that I feel very self-conscious about. Because took me, 9 years to grow my locks. And within a month, I'm about to lose them. You know, my daughter told me, she like, it's okay. We'll just get you a wig. I'm not a wig person. I love my natural hair. But I'm embrace it when the time comes. You know, I have to get my mindset wrapped around it that I'm losing my hair. You know, and that's another something that I'm learning to deal with. You know, because I sit back and I think about the cancer patients that lose their hair. You know, my sister lost her hair before she passed away from her chemo. I mean, I think it was the third chemo that they tried on her, and it was so invasive that her hair came out in 2 days from taking one treatment of the chemo. That's how invasive that chemo was, and she had sister locks, and her locks was longer than mine. You know, so. And I remember what she said when she rubbed her hand through her hair. And she said, it's only hair. And I have to think about that. You know, it's only hair. I have to put myself in her mindset of when she began to lose her hair. You know. And I know she was self-conscious, but she put on a brave face. Sis, it's just hair. But I know deep down inside that it was, it hurted her. Like it's, deep down inside, it's hurting me. But that's just part of life. That's something we have to go through. And when I'm at chemo, I see a lot of ladies that comes in there. And they walk with their head held high and proud, and when I first met them, they had hair within, I think, maybe 2 to 3 years. And that's, you know, their hair started to drift off. And they started out with wigs, and now they embrace their baldness. They don't even wear a wig. They just, you know, enjoy, you know. So I got to get myself to that point to where they're at, you know, where I could just be brave to just step out and don't care, you know. That's a work in progress for me, you know. Life is a work in progress. So I say these things to, you know, to let people know that I am human. You know, it might be superficial for other, you know, for things that I say and doing, but I'm working through that. I'm working to get better, to be able to embrace whatever that comes towards me. You know, dealing with all these autoimmune is a lot to deal with. And then when I'm getting all these other little things that's happening, it's overwhelming at times. So, like I said, I have to get in that mindset of embracing what's finna happen, you know, and go from there. I had an old acquaintance that I haven't talked to in about 10, 11 years, and she contacted me and wanted to know how I was doing, you know, and I told her I'm doing good, you know. No, life throw me a curveball. I hit it out of the park and keep moving. And I was asking her how she was doing. She was telling me that, you know, she's on dialysis 4 times a week. She need a kidney. You know, she have high blood pressure. And she was just angry. You know, why is this happening to me? You know, and I'm like, hold up, stop. That is not the way you should be thinking. You know, I've been there. And I asked her how long she's been dealing with, you know, her illness, you know, being on dialysis. And she said she's been dealing with it for about 8 years. I'm like, okay, it's time for you to embrace what you're going through and pray. You know, she's on the kidney list. To a donor list to get a kidney. And then she was telling me her daughter is also on the donor list to get a kidney. So her daughter goes to dialysis 3 times a week. So I'm like, you know, have you changed your diet? You know, the way you eat, you know? And she said, well, I'm working on it. You know, I'm like, okay, you got to work a little harder. So I sent her a link to my YouTube video, and I asked her to take a look at it. But I haven't heard back from her, so I don't know if she looked at it or not. But I have been doing research on kidney failure, because that can happen to me. Liver failure can happen to me. So I've been doing research and looking up, you know, different things about it. So I was going to reach out to her and try to talk to her, and maybe I could help her get through what she's going through, her and her daughter. Her daughter is not such bitter about what she's going through. She's embracing it. She told me she have embraced it. She had accepted it. But her mom haven't. You know, she's angry, you know. And like I told you, being angry, and it's not going to help. It's just going to put more stress on your body and just going to tear your body down even more. So I'm hoping that she actually watch my videos and to get a better understanding on how I'm dealing with what I'm dealing with and how I'm getting through what I'm going through. You know, it's hard to, you know, to deal with what you're going through. And like I told, I don't do dialysis, so I don't know how dialysis works. I get chemo, and I sit for chemo for 5 hours, and she said she there for 45 minutes for dialysis. So, you know, that's less than what I have to sit through for 5 hours. And I get 4 treatments a year, and they're 5 hours long, each treatment. So, you know, I said, I learned to deal with what I'm going through, and I'm hoping that I can be able to help her get through what she's going through, you know, because just talking to her, she was really in a dark place, you know, and I asked her, does she talk to a therapist? And she said, no. I'm like, you know, maybe that, you know, you need to talk to your doctor. Maybe they can set you up with a therapist, you know. And like I told, there's a lot of different foods, you know, and stuff out there that for people that's diabetic, that you need to start, maybe you need to start giving it a try and eating, you know, and stop, you know, come out with, I love my soul food. I want this. But if you want these different foods, learn to cook them, prepare them in a different way. And that's what I had to do. Foods that I love, I learned to incorporate them into my Mediterranean lifestyle of eating. I still get what I love to eat, but it just in a different way of preparing it. Now, I gave the couscous a try. I don't like it. Quinoa, I gave it a try. I don't like it. You know, but I find other things to substitute those different things into my lifestyle of eating. You know, chickpeas, I only like them as in hummus. I don't like just eating chickpeas because they're crunchy to me. I don't like them, but I love hummus, and I do keep me hummus in my refrigerator. Or I would actually buy the chickpeas and make my own hummus from scratch. You know, I learned to do a lot of different things in way of feeding, you know, taking care of myself and making sure I'm still getting nutrition that I need. And I know back a couple of months ago, they was talking about giving me a blood transfusion if I didn't get my blood count up, iron transfusion. And I incorporate a lot of different foods into my diet. My lifestyle way of eating to get my blood count up. And I did. And when they did lab work and they got it back, they said, oh, your iron level's up, your blood count back up, your potassium. Because I did not want to go through the blood transfusion. I started reading up on what foods I can incorporate that I already was eating. I just started eating more. I contacted a nutritionist to find out how much of this I need to eat a day or a week to get my levels up. That's how I get myself back on track. I don't like taking medication. I don't like taking pills, but I take them if I have to. I don't like have to get infusions, like when it comes to blood infusions. I don't, that's something, a blood transfusion, that is not an option for me. I would do an iron infusion, but a blood infusion is not an option for me because I don't know, you know, they tell you when you're getting a blood transfusion that you can die from a blood transfusion. So I know this can happen because I've seen it happen to my sister. She got a blood transfusion on a Monday and my sister passed away on a Saturday. Although, yes, she did have metastatic cancer, stage 4. But her blood count level was so low when they gave her the blood transfusion. They said that, you know, it might help. And then it might not. So, you know, I know what a blood transfusion can do. Some people can, you know, it doesn't bother them. But I seen it firsthand happen to my sister. So, like I said, a blood transfusion is not an option for me. So I would eat whatever I need to eat to keep my blood count up, to keep my iron level up, and my potassium level. But like I said, I would take a potassium infusion. I would take an iron infusion, but no blood. That I would not do. But like I said, you know, those are things that you need to know and how to deal with. I know how much water I'm supposed to intake a day, you know, to keep my kidneys flush. I know different foods that I need to eat to keep my liver functioning properly. You know, I know what signs to look for now since I've been doing research on when my kidneys are beginning to fail, when my liver is beginning to fail. I know these different things now because I've been doing research and I'm steady doing research and studying and asking questions, you know. That's what I was trying to get her to understand. Don't sit back and don't do nothing to try to help yourself. And just say that, oh, I'm waiting on a kidney. But do other things while you're waiting for that kidney. Like I told, they put me back on the lung transplant list. But I'm not just sitting and waiting for a lung. I'm doing other things to help myself to get better. To help the lung that I got functioning, to stay functioning until I can get a replacement. So, you know, that's all any one of us can do is don't give up. Keep doing what you can do to help yourself. And like I told, incorporate herbs into your meals, into your diet. You know, I cook with a lot of different herbs. I eat a lot of different herbs, you know, and I came up with my own seasoning blend of different herbs that I can use on all types of meat and vegetables. And it works for me. You know, when I have dinner parties and I use my same herbs and spices that I have on my food that I cook for my dinner party, and they be like, oh, this is good. Where you get this seasoning from? It's my special blend that I came up with, you know. And they like, wow, you know, can you make me some? You know, sure. You know, I even sent some to my sister and she made, they had a potluck at her job and she made some chicken, she said, and some pork chops and she put some of the seasoning on it and took it. She said she didn't have anything left, you know? And she's like, everybody was raving about how good, you know, it tastes. Like I said, you know, it's the herbs and stuff that you can use to give your food flavor, you know. My sister, the one blend that I made for her, she's allergic to garlic. So that was one thing I did not put in her seasoning was garlic because she's allergic to it. But I put everything else in there that, you know, I had in mind except the garlic. So, like I said, you know, try blending different herbs and stuff, you know, seasonings to, you know, to a taste that you like. And And mine do not have any salt in it at all. And I use sea salt, you know, on certain things. Like if I'm brining meat or something, I use sea salt. But actually cooking with it, no, I don't. I don't use salt at all. And like I said, and I don't miss it. Because I have all my different herbs and spices, I don't miss the salt at all. And that's why I was saying, that's some way that she can cut down, you know, bring her blood pressure level down, bring her cholesterol level down. Because she's, I mean, her cholesterol level's high. Cut out certain foods that you know that will, you know, make those levels stay up there. And just tone it back. You just don't cut it out all at once. You gradually start easing something new in and taking something old out. That's the way I did. I didn't just go cold turkey on eating the way I was eating when I started this Mediterranean lifestyle of eating. I started it slowly. And now all the old ways that I was cooking with a lot of butter and all that. I don't do all that. I cook with vegetable oil, canola oil, olive oil. I very sudden use butter in any of my meals. Unless I making me some homemade mashed potatoes and I would love to have my butter on my mashed potatoes. I don't like the olive oil on my mashed potatoes. So if I do mashed potatoes, it will have butter. But it's not going to have a whole lot of butter. I maybe have a half a teaspoon of butter on there. And that's it. And that's enough for me. You know, and my pepper, and I sprinkle a little of my seasoning on it. But, you know, like I said, you have to incorporate different things into your lifestyle. Change the way you eat. It's hard. And I've been doing this Mediterranean lifestyle way of eating going on 3 years now. And I have released a lot of weight doing this way of eating. You know, a lot of people who say, oh, but eating that way is expensive. Not really. It's not expensive. You know, I buy a lot of my food. I go to the Asian stores and get my herbs and spices and stuff. And I do it that way. And one of the Asian stores I go to, they have the ducks that I like. And I get my ducks and stuff from them. I get my chicken from them because everything that she have in her store is imported from Asia, from China. So a free range chickens, they're not chicken that's processed already. Yeah, I know they do have those in the stores now, but they're more expensive than where I get mine from. So I still just go there. It's just like, you know, excuse me, with a duck. In a grocery store, a duck costs you $23 to $30. Where I get mine from, I pay about $14 to $15 for it. And it's a lot better. Really, it's not fatty. Duck skin is fat enough on its own. So I, you know, get my duck from her. I get my frozen fish, like the little mackerels and stuff. I get those from her. They come frozen already, and they're not clean. They are caught and frozen, and that's how I should get them in. I get my groupers. You know, I get most of all my meat that I like to eat from the Asian store, like my seafood. Now, if I want salmon and stuff like that, I go to the the farmers, the fish market and get that. And my lobsters and shrimp and prawns and stuff like that, I get that at the fish market. And I get my fruits and vegetables at the farmer's market. So it's not really that expensive because I start looking at the prices that I was paying in the store, and then I'll go to the farmer's market and I was getting the same amount, but I was paying less. So I said, you have to shop around and, you know, go that route. And that's what, you know, I try to get people to understand. There's a lot of ways of getting your food and that you won't be out a whole lot of money, you know, that, you know, is reasonable. So I just want to, you know, share these thoughts with you all, and hopefully that they help. And we're going to go from there. So I would like to thank you all for listening to my podcast and sharing my podcast and being here on this journey with me. Namaste.